You know, the story is told of Franklin Delano Roosevelt and one of his closest friends who talked well into the night at the White House. President Roosevelt suggested that they go out into the Rose Garden and look up at the stars before retiring for the evening. They went out and stared up for several minutes at the mass of stars, and then the president said, "Okay, I think we feel small enough now to go to sleep." I fear that our world has lost a sense of awe, lost appreciation of God's natural revelation. Few of us have the time, nor want to take the time, it seems, to experience the miraculous in our midst. One of my favorite comic characters is Ziggy. Several years ago, Ziggy was standing on the edge of a cliff, peering into the vast expanse of a colorful sunset, when he breaks out in thunderous applause and exclaims, "Go, God!" Are you feeling overwhelmed this holiday season? With all the social events and all the shopping, sometimes we just need to drop everything and experience the miraculous going on all around us. One of the wonderful things about Christmas is that when we stop and think about a Savior being born, shepherds witnessing singing angels on a hillside outside of Bethlehem, wise men following a star, we should be inspired also to put our hands together. It should bring out the child in all of us. A word which I believe best sums up Christmas is incarnation. And it's found in John chapter 1, verse 14. And John tells it like this. Says John, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This, church, is not just the miracle of Christmas. It is the miracle that begat all other miracles. Something which should cause all of us to put our hands together and proclaim, not just from the tops of rooftops, but from the very depths of our hearts and soul, "Go, God." Virginia Owens, in her touching little book, "And the Trees Clap Their Hands," says that as we age, we lose our childlike wonder and awe. Along the way, she continues, everything becomes merely. It is merely a snowfall, merely a Christmas pageant or Christmas carol. But Christmas points us beyond the merely to the yes, but. It was, yes, merely a stable, but a Savior was born there. Yes, they were merely shepherds, but God chose them to be messengers of his birth announcement. Yes, Mary and Joseph were mere peasants from lowly Nazareth, but God chose them to mother and father his only son. Yes, it was merely a birth, but it is the incarnation. It was God becoming one of us. The Hebrew word for incarnation is tabernacle. So I like the analogy of God pitched a tent on the earth for 33 years and became one of us, and I'll bet you it was a GP medium tent. Huh? The incarnation, Christmas, shouts across the centuries and says to us that since his birth, nothing is merely anymore. People are not merely people. They are dear children of God, all of us made in his image. Our behavior is not merely behavior. It is our gift to God, our response to his greatest gift. This morning is not merely a Christmas music program, but something that should so inspire us that we proclaim with a lump in our throat, "You go, God." Amen? Amen. So this Christmas, let us pause from our busy schedules to recognize and appreciate the miraculous in our midst. Let us look beyond the merely to see the meaning and significance of the Christmas story. It is only then that God is able to transform the merely into "You go, God." Then, maybe, when we get to the point where we can say, "You go, God," maybe, just maybe, we'll stare at a reenactment of that wondrous star-filled night and swear upon our lives that we saw something move in that tiny manger. Amen.